Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Kansas City-based jazz singer, songwriter, pianist, and producer Alyssa Murray on Modern Living. I caught her live on April 14th, 2022 as a part of the Blue Room Thursday afternoon series, and it was a packed house there off 18th and Vine. She talked about her gigs these days, surviving COVID, her latest 2021 album Half and Half, and so much more. Enjoy.
Thank you for taking a minute out to talk to Neon Jazz today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess first and foremost, I really enjoyed the performance last Thursday, the Thursday at Noon series at the Blue Room. It has to feel so good to be back on stage.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Kind of back to, I would say, kind of the regular level on some when it comes to, like, gigs at the Blue Room and kind of restaurant gigs as well, it seems like.
That's wonderful. That's great news. I mean, I know from my end, I've heard so many stories of woe, so it's so great to not only hear about it, but to actually see. I could tell by the way that you and the band were interacting that there was a huge sense of relief and almost kind of shock that it's happening again.
Yeah, with that band specifically, I don't think we played together since like 2019. I think it was the last time we got together and played rep.
How is your itinerary opening up? What kind of gigs and things are going on for you on that live front?
I perform pretty regularly at Corvino Supper Club and Tasting Room at 18th and Walnut, and it's just been always one of my favorite spots to play as a musician. I think I've played every type of music I've ever created genre-wise at that spot, so it's really, I love it. It's a great place to kind of bring new repertoire into, and that's kind of my main regular gig, and I've mainly been focusing a lot on teaching. I teach piano anywhere from like beginner, classical, you know, kind of that general keyboard skills to improv and jazz harmony, you know, just a whole bunch of different things there. And so that's kind of been my main focus, as well as during the pandemic, I really got into recording and kind of exploring that territory more. So I've been trying to keep more space for me to do kind of creative studio time. And so I feel like those three things have been kind of my main focus lately.
Speaking of the pandemic, you know, It was a time of self-reflection. A lot of us had time to kind of look within and figure some things out. So what did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger as you reemerge and get back out to this community of musicians?
Yeah, I think it just made me reflect on kind of what type of, because live music kind of went away and live performance went away, it made me kind of reflect on, like, what do I value in that setting? And so recently, in October, I did a collaboration with a visual artist, Barry Anderson, and that was through Charlotte Street's Proto Lab series. And like, for example, I just really loved, it was a special event. It was, you know, two artists coming together, two different disciplines coming together. It was just such a special event and show. And so I've just been trying to, when I go out to perform, trying to find those events to be a part of or to create. I felt like maybe I was kind of running myself thin, kind of on the performance front here and there. So it was a good time to kind of, like I mentioned before, getting back into recording and exploring that kind of territory, maybe reflect differently on my performance lifestyle, so to say.
Well, and you also mentioned during the show, and I've really looked into it and delved into it more, you know, you released a new album in 2021, Half and Half, and you've been more busy with recordings. So talk to me specifically about that one. I know that, you know, you tend to be, I mean, there's a danger in labels, and I know you're in the jazz community, but there's also elements of pop and all kinds of other influences that obviously go into who you are as a musician. Talk to me about kind of the chameleon recording of Half and Half.
Yeah, so Half and Half, its title came from it being like half beats, like instrumental, and then half vocal tunes. And so I think it just kind of came to me, that vision early on. And so I kind of started to write towards something being half and half in that regard. It was just because of the pandemic, you know, it just, like, you're kind of alone in your house. And so that album, all except for one track, pretty much was me producing the drums and also producing the tracks for them as well. And so that involved more synthesizers, which I kind of recently had gotten into during that time, and also doing some more vocal production. Also just kind of a time to, I still had some improv moments in there, right? But there's no total like band interaction, which I feel like jazz is really known for. And like, for example, like the show at the Blue Room that recently happened, there's way more interaction between individual members when you're just producing it by yourself. This is kind of a different kind of feel. But it's also fun to, for example, when you do solo, you can manipulate it afterwards and it becomes something kind of otherworldly, something kind of beyond the capturing of the performance. And so that was kind of a fun time to reflect on that, and with that album especially.
You know, what I've kind of noticed, and I think it was happening before the pandemic to a certain degree, but I think it got kind of blown up in this, is that there's a lot of different elements of electronica and different, you know, kind of modern genres of music that are getting interjected into jazz. And I'm wondering if that's kind of coming from like an artistic aesthetic, or it's more of like bringing in other audiences and other types of people into jazz by osmosis. What do you think about this as someone that's kind of doing a little bit of a hybrid collection of music?
I think it is kind of just like osmosis in a lot of ways. I think people like hear certain kind of like you mentioned like these hybrids, and they're like, how do I get to like playing that way? Like, how do I study and get to that way? And I feel like even for me in college, it helped to kind of get hipper to some more modern players. It helped me connect deeper with the tradition itself, I think. And so I feel, and I could be assuming things, but I feel like that's kind of how people get into jazz a lot anymore, because it's like, oh, I can relate more to this music. How do I create that? How do I get to that point as a musician? And then, you know, you go back through the tradition.
So the other part of this is that as we do start getting out into the live environment more, what are you hoping that all of us, both musician and the audience, realizes about the power of live music and getting out and seeing it in that capacity?
I think it just the organic moments, so to say, or even like, for example, like kind of taking a chance on seeing a band that you kind of know, and you know, going there and the show taking you by surprise, right? Them seeing them live takes you by surprise versus like listening to them. And just like, I think just reflecting on, yeah, again, the like organic moments that happen in those live settings.
How did you survive COVID? I know you talked about recording and teaching and all of that, but I know that there's also a creative part of everybody. You know, what was your last gig before we went into the whole shutdown mode?
I think it was either, kind of, I mentioned Corvino Supper Club is either kind of a solo show there. I used to play there every Monday. And I think before that one, I actually had a gig in Wichita with Claire Adams, who's a singer-songwriter I've played and collaborated with. And so I think that was probably the last gig we had when I think about it. I also think we played Knucklehead that weekend too. So those always kind of stick out in my mind as like the last final gig.
So what kind of shock was it? What did you go through as an artist, you know, realizing that all of the gigs that you had were going away? We didn't know when they were going to come back. I mean, and I know it's easy right now, or a little easier right now, to be like, all right, we're getting back to it. But there was a long, long time there where even when the rest of the world would kind of partially open up, the entertainment world stayed shut down, especially jazz.
Yeah, definitely. Because even, like, personally for my focus, it went away from kind of what you mentioned. Like, jazz takes people meeting up together in, like, actual time and space, right? And so it just really sucks. The magic that happens, the organic moments that happen when you're in a band, you know, are kind of taken away. And for me, like, it was a shock when everything went away. Luckily, I live with a musician, and so we started to stream quite a bit, and we kind of looked to the internet to kind of help, guide us, bring us some kind of attention. And so there was when I switched over to more electronic focus, so to say, because we were already kind of bridging jazz with a more electronic influence. I kind of found different communities online And that's kind of what helped me during that time when you couldn't really find an in-person community or physical in-space community. So I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, I think the online community was essential. I think having it during this technological time in our lives is huge. Kansas City as a jazz organism is strong. You know, I mean, this is not just a place where it's a springboard where you go to UMKC and you leave. It's like people are coming here. Jackie Myers, Adam Larson, all these other cats. So, you know, obviously before this happened, the scene was strong. And now we're in recovery. Everybody's recouping. And it seems like a lot of places are still up and around and going. But what do you see as a part of this tapestry of jazz musician? How do you see the recovery of the entire community as we kind of keep moving forward?
I have to say, I do like kind of like what you saw last week, the Blue Room. They really changed their format after the pandemic, and I feel like they're doing a little more concentrated shows. Just for an example, I felt like this was a positive thing. So, like, for example, my noon series was only an hour, and it just really allowed me and the band to just focus on, like, a really good set of original stuff I wanted to showcase. Versus, I think, in previous times, a lot of the evening shows were, like, 4 hours. And you kind of, I felt, this was something I reflected on during the pandemic, was the feeling of making a lot of creative choices just because they were based off of, like, filling time kind of thing. So I'm happy to see kind of shorter shows that you can advertise people to come to, that they, you know, they'll be there and they'll be giving you their full attention for a certain amount of time. So, yeah, I prefer that format. And so I've really liked seeing that kind of be a result of the pandemic, a positive one. And then again, I think, like, I don't know, personally for me, I play out as much as I'd like to when it comes to the restaurant scene. So I don't feel like I have enough experience currently to kind of comment on, like, how healthy that is again.
Yeah. I think the thing that's interesting about what you're saying, and I've noticed this from my end of, like, loving jazz and covering it, is that this noon series is wonderful. I mean, there was the month of February featured the women of jazz. This series has been a whole other group of musicians, and I've had the chance to go out. I know Johnson County Community College does the same thing, the chance to kind of have a break in the day and have a short set instead of musicians having to kind of tailor for the fact that people might come in or out and not see the whole thing. I think it's interesting. I've never heard anybody explain it like that, but I think that what a wonderful symbiosis. I mean, it's a free series, too, so there's nothing that someone can say where it's like, yeah, I don't have the money. It's like, you know, which is usually something people would say. Like, you literally have every possible positive to come out and see a show on a bright, sunny day at the Blue Room in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I think it's great.
So let's get down to the good business here. I know you have material that's out. Let everybody know where they can actually, the best place to pick up your recordings, any live shows, announcements that you have, and anything recording wise that might be coming out here in the near future.
So my website is the best place to kind of keep up with everything. It's alyssamariemusic.com, and there I have my most recent recording, which came out last year, about a year ago, called Half and Half, and that links you to my Bandcamp, which also has my 2015 album As of Now, which is kind of a more jazz folk live studio album. And so you can find those there at my website. And then I also have my live show calendar there. And I also have some teaching information if you're looking for any type of piano lesson. And live show wise, I perform every fourth Tuesday at Corvino Supper Club and Tasting Room. And then release wise, last Friday, I had a remix release. And this is from the music of singer-songwriter Claire Adams. I was on her album that came out in 2020 when it was released. I created a remix of one of my favorite tunes off of that. It's been fun to see people react to it. So that's out, and you can find that on Spotify, on YouTube, any of the mainstream, and it's called If It Isn't Right.
Cool. Alyssa, hey, thank you very much. It was wonderful to see you live. Thanks for opening up about, you know, the COVID life and the recovery, and good luck with everything.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Kansas City and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Alyssa for her time, music, and stories. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. And for everything Joe Domino related, go to JoeDomino.com. And if you feel so inclined, you can donate a few bucks to the cause. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.